my chains fell off, and I'm set free. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, may your Holy Spirit descend upon these your people, fill their hearts, let them know your love, and set them free. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. I would add one little verse of scripture to the scripture reading that was read this morning. It's from the 8th chapter of Romans, the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. Can you remember the first time that you fell in love? Or maybe the first time that someone fell in love with you? And maybe when it happened, you thought to yourself, how could anyone ever love me? How could this be? It was about 20 years ago on a New Year's Eve night. It was snowing like crazy in New Hampshire, and I was sitting at home all by myself in my house. And I thought, this is nuts. Here I am in the ministry for 25 years, all by myself, alone. So I got in my car, and I drove 50 miles to Manchester, New Hampshire, to the only gay bar in New Hampshire. It's long gone, it burned down. And I stood in a corner waiting for midnight. This young woman came up to me named Cindy, and she said, my roommate would really like you. I went, yeah, sure. You know. About an hour later, she came back and she said, my roommate, really, his name's Roger, would really like you. Yeah, sure. She gave me her phone number. New Year's Eve came and went, and I went home, and the next day I called the phone number, and he was home. I was sitting in the hot tub outside in a snowstorm. For 2 hours on the phone with him. He was lost, and I was lost. We met each other. We became partners for 9 years. And I remember the first 2 or 3 weeks that we had this conversation back and forth, and then he finally moved into the parsonage with me. Imagine a Methodist parsonage. I could have lost my job. I remember I went through Dunkin' Donuts one day, and I put the order into the speaker, and I was whistling. And when I got to the window, the woman said to me, my, aren't we happy today? Because I discovered that someone loved me. This person believed in me. He saw something in me that I guess I couldn't see. He didn't see my faults, and I didn't see his faults, although we both had lots of faults. He died last year. What so often happens is that we can't imagine that someone would love us. Why? Because we let other people's opinions be our opinions? But when love happens, we get giddy. We get silly. But we need to remind ourselves, let us not be instruments of our own or other people's opinions and impressions of us. How about letting God's opinion of us be our opinion? Because God believes in you. God believes in me. God believes in love. God loves you. And where love is, there is God. People see God's love revealed in our relationships here in this building. And it changes the world as we take it outside. I spent many years in ministry thinking to myself, how could I possibly do this? This is crazy. What am I doing? Why am I doing this? What is this all about? And the bottom question always was, where is God? For years in my preaching, probably the first 10 years, I used to preach, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God, because God is love. 1 John. But what about me? What about me? Until one day, I had gone on a 3-day retreat. If you're Catholic, you might know about Curcio. If you're Episcopalian, you might know about Curcio. Methodist, it's called Walk to Emmaus. It's a short course in Christianity. I'm like, yeah, I'm a minister. I know everything, you know? I know what it's all about. Sunday morning, someone came up to me and handed me a Bible and said, here's today's scripture reading. Read this. And I began to read the scripture that Gail read to you. And as I read, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends. You did not choose me. I chose you. And suddenly, this business of beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, went right like this. And I heard, I love you. You are my friend. You're no longer a stranger. I chose you. You are my beloved. And I left that 3-day weekend going back to my church and saying to them, you know what? I don't give a crap what you people think about me. Because God loves me. And you can't take it away. Call it what you want to call it. Born again, new life, whatever you want to call it. I don't care what you call it. It's one of those aha moments. And it's one of those moments where I suddenly realize God is trusting me with a big and important project. My life. God is trusting you with a big and important project, your life, because God loves you. God believes in you. God is saying all that stuff that we make up that separates us from God and one another is forgiven and forgotten. God is love, and you are beloved. Don't let the instruments of your own oppression or impression of yourself be who you are. God's impression of us is what is important. And that impression is that we are loved, and that is transformation. Now, I'm a Methodist, and I'm also an MCC member here, but I'm a Methodist, and I want to tell you about two people that maybe you've heard about. 300 years ago, two brothers became ministers in the Church of England, John and Charles Wesley. Charles wrote over 6,000 hymns. John was the preacher. In 1735, John and Charles were called by James Oglethorpe to go to Savannah, Georgia from England to be missionaries. They were going to establish a parish church in the city of Savannah. And if you go there today, you'll find a statue of John Wesley. And you'll find Methodist stuff in the city of Savannah. John came with his high church service, his Church of England Episcopalian way of worship. He met a woman on shipboard named Sophie Hopke that he fell in love with. And then he refused her communion, and he got in a lot of trouble. And so he hot-footed it back to England. He couldn't understand why his mission failed. why he was doing what he was doing, what God was all about. How could this be? He met some Moravians on the shipboard who prayed during the storm at sea while he was down below deck, worried and upset. He watched these people. He was a failure. On the 24th of May in 1738, he went to a prayer meeting at Aldersgate Street in London, England. If you're Methodist, you know this story. It was a group of Moravians meeting together. Here's what he wrote in his journal the next morning. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. How boring! The worst thing you could read. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. Put very simply, John Wesley discovered that God loved him. He discovered God's love, and his life was transformed, and he was set free. Wesley discovered what all who follow the divine discover, that God is love, that love transforms us, that love sets us free, that love makes us do and live in love, and that we are no longer instruments of our own oppression or the oppression of other people. That God believes in us, that God loves us, and that God is entrusting us with the biggest project of all, our own lives. And when we live in love, other lives are also transformed. Amazing love. How can it be? In your bulletin, there's a sheet that has the words to a Charles Wesley hymn. Looks like this. And can it be? I couldn't believe I'd been in the ministry 25 years and I'd never sung this hymn until one Sunday I asked the congregation, do you have a hymn you'd like to sing today? And this teenage kid in the congregation raised his hand and said, yeah, hymn number so-and-so in the hymnal. I opened it up and I went, oh my God, where has this hymn been hiding? Charles Wesley, the day after John had his heart strangely warmed, went to his brother and sang this hymn to him. This hymn talks about salvation and talks in terms that we don't talk anymore. You know, this stuff about the Savior's blood and things like that. But in my opinion, this hymn says one thing. It asks the question, how can it be that God loves me? How can it be? And the answer comes in the fourth verse of this hymn, when suddenly we realize that we're beloved, God's beloved children. The answer comes, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin in nature's night, thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. Chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. I brought a recording of this morning for you to hear because you probably never heard it. I know Kevin told me that he knows this hymn. I love this recording. It's not like the way we sing anymore. In this church. It's the Westminster Hall Choir in London, England, and they sing it the way the words sing. Listen to the words of the hymn and how they sing it. Verses 1, 2, and 3, they ask the question. and then listen what happens to the choir and the organ when they get to the fourth verse, "My chains fell off, my heart was free." And you're welcome to sing along if you like.
Thank you.
grace. Amazing grace. That's what they sang. How can it be? How can it be? The very time that you think you're not loved and you're not God's beloved, that's when God's loving you the most. That's what grace is. Amazing grace. And I just see Charles singing that to John. The chains came off. I know I'm loved. I'm set free. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving God, you love us even when we feel unloved. You love us all the time. May we be filled with your grace and love and courage to take your love into all the world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.